Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Welcome back.
Hello, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest Rhode Island State Senator Louis DePalma, a Democrat from Middletown. Thank you for joining us.
Ian, thank you for the invite.
Let's start with the fallout from the recent issues in Rhode Island's Executive Office of Health and Human Services. A potentially costly legal case between the state and a group of nursing homes has been settled. But House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello says there are systemic problems in Health and Human Services and that better management is required in the four agencies that make up that executive office. Senator DePalma, you keep a close eye on human services in Rhode Island. Do you agree with Speaker Mattiello?
Partially. I've been studying HHS for 10 years now. It consists of the Executive Office, Department of Children, Youth, and Families, Behavioral Health Care, Development, Disability, and Hospitals, Department of Human Services, and Department of Health. There are thousands of committed workers there working there every day. Governor Raimondo has replaced and changed over the leadership in four of those, or three of the directors, plus the secretary in the last year plus. They're moving in the right direction. My take on the matter is additional senior leadership. So here's where I agree with the speaker. Additional senior leadership is sorely needed across human services, categorically.
What kind of senior leadership? What kind of positions are you talking about?
So I believe in the area of operational, some of the area of data analysis. We have leaders that are one deep. They're building their teams. They need to build more around their teams to address the operational aspects of every day, of running the organizations, whether it's UHIP, and I've spent a couple years now studying that and looking at that in the area of DD, addressing the consent decree, both in DCYF and BHDDH, leadership in those areas.
Scott, you've been looking at state government for a long time. The Office of Health and Human Services was created by former Governor Carcheri. What's your sense of how well or how poorly it's working out?
Well, obviously, we need some really strong leadership there. And I have to say, Senator DePalma is fine on this medal, but I also think the legislature needs to have more oversight of these agencies because a lot of lawmakers really don't want to get into the details of how these huge agencies run. And I think we really need more oversight up on Smith Hill. It'd be a much better way to do it. On the other hand, I don't expect that any governor can keep track of thousands of state employees, what they do every day.
What do you say, Maureen?
I agree with the senator and with Scott. I also think that a lot of these problems come from lawyers who evidently haven't done what they're supposed to do, and in one case, one that wasn't even permitted to practice. I think there should be some sort of an oversight program, maybe in the conjunction with the attorney general, that looks at their qualifications, that keeps track of their professional accomplishments, and in that way, perhaps avoid some of these slips that have occurred that have been costly to the state and certainly to the Raimondo administration.
As I indicated, there are thousands and thousands of committed, dedicated HHS employees going to work every single day, addressing billions of dollars of state and federal money on a daily basis, billions, both from the state side and the federal side. Do these mishaps need to be addressed? Categorically. Do we need to address and determine the root cause for these? Absolutely. Whether it's people, process, tools, that clearly needs to be looked at and figure out what was the root cause, how are we going to correct it moving forward so it does not happen again.
Well, let's switch gears and talk about how the Rhode Island House is slated to vote later today on a $9.55 billion budget for the fiscal year beginning July 1st. Supporters say the spending plan avoids broad-based tax increases, continues a car tax phase-out, and gives voters the chance to direct $250 million to improve Rhode Island school buildings. Critics point in part to how it remains unclear if voters may need to sign off on a plan to implement sports betting later this year. Senator DePalma, what is your take on whether this is a good budget for the people of Rhode Island?
So, you use the word, I would say, I believe it's a good balanced budget with regards to what's come forward and the work that we've done I'll say just from the Senate side, some 33 hearings we've had since January. It's an investment in the economy. It's an investment in education. It's an investment in infrastructure, roads and bridges, and important and near and dear to my heart, investment in health and human services.
Maureen, Republicans point to how this budget cleared the Finance Committee last Friday in about 40 minutes and how the House budget includes millions more in spending than the proposal from Governor Raimondo. What are your thoughts on that?
I think this is the way the process runs. I think they could have gotten to this a little bit sooner, but I agree with the senator. I think this is a relatively balanced budget, and I think this is an instance where you can see the governor and the legislature kind of working together. They're kind of on the same page. There are challenges on the margins, the idea of sports betting, that may have to be resolved. But the core of the budget, I think, is fair, balanced, and given the constraints that we have, it's going to be effective.
How do you assess this budget, Scott?
You know, I think we do what we usually do in Rhode Island, which is muddle through. You know, we muddle through, we patch it together, we get through another year, and then they come back in January, they'll do it again. Sports betting, I think, clearly requires a statewide vote. I agree with Joe Larissa on that one. I don't have any problem with pro sports betting because I don't think that Tom Brady or Al Horford or those people are going to throw games that paid millions of dollars. However, I really think we should put a yellow light, a caution light up on whether or not we allow online sports betting, as the Senate president would like to do, Senate President Ruggiero, on college sports. I really think that's a slippery slope.
Finally, let's talk on the heating up race for governor in Rhode Island. Democrat Matt Brown is criticizing Governor Raimondo on abortion and other issues. And across the partisan aisle, Channel 12 reports that Republican Alan Fung's campaign wound up not paying developer Carpionato Group for rent for Fung's campaign headquarters in 2016. Senator DePalma, you're a Democrat. Are you supporting Governor Raimondo for reelection?
100%.
Do you think she's going to wind up facing Alan Fung in the general election in November, or do you think Matt Brown and some of Fung's Republican rivals have a better shot?
It's unclear. I think if we look back and we think about trying to, and I'm not a bettor, and if I bet a penny, that would be a lot of money, of betting on what's going to happen. If we look back to 2016, I don't bet on the odds, but I believe Governor Raimondo will be the victor in the end.
Scott, what do you make of this story involving Mayor Fung in Cranston and his campaign office?
Well, it looks sloppy and it looks kind of stupid, frankly. And it was good work by our friend Tim White over at WPRI to dig out the story. But I don't think it's fatal. You know, it's not one of these huge things. It's certainly nothing like that ticket scandal they had with the cops writing the tickets last time. So I think people probably will forget about this in a month or two. I just think that Governor Raimondo's lucky she's not running against Bob Flanders or, frankly, Scott Avedigian. I mean, Governor Raimondo's numbers are not as good as they should be.
Maureen, last week, Governor Raimondo had a tough week with the health and human service issues. She's having a better week this week with Mayor Fung's controversy and Rhode Island topping 500,000 people having jobs. What is your sense of her primary fight with Matt Brown?
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting fight. I think he is making a name for himself. My own personal opinion is that he's in it for the next time. He's got to run his numbers up so he has a credible candidate coming out of it. I think some of his stands, like, for example, on abortion, are overstated in the sense that you have to realize that we have the ability to have insurers ensure women get abortions, but abortion is not universally approved of in this country. So the idea that you have some set-asides to satisfy that element of the population, I think, is a prudent thing to do. Maybe not 9, maybe it go down to 6. Well, there are 18 health source services, but we have to remember that the progressive agenda of the Democrats does not speak even for all Democrats. And that's the kind of thing that's going to be interesting to see play out in the Democratic primary.
All right, we're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And State Senator Louis DePalma, a Democrat from Middletown and not a bad guy despite being a New York Yankees fan. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, and go Yankees.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And you can find a lot more on our website at ripr.org.